I felt it necessary to do a part two to God's provision and how he supplies all our needs. So I want to go to scripture again and just to read a few more examples of God providing for his people. The first one is in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. And this is when Jesus sends out 70 or so of his disciples to preach the gospel. And then I'm coming from the New Living Translation. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. It says, "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, 'May God's peace be on your house.' If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now." So you see here, they were sent out with nothing and told to rely on the people providing for them. So God used people, primarily the believers of the gospel. And this is not a Jehovah's Witness door-to-door thing. He said to stay in the house. So what they were doing was going and preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel, you know, staying over the night, speaking the gospel to the people that would receive them. And they provided food and shelter for them and probably clothing at some point as well. So this is just an example of how God will use those who believe, believers in general, to support other believers, bringing the gospel and the gospel kingdom message to people. Now, other instances, Jesus sent them out and told them to take stuff with them. And so it's not to say that this is how it operates all the time, but this is just an example of how God used the people around them to support them as they did their work. As I said before, there are times when you need to store up something and take it with you. There are times when God will provide what you need. You don't have to bring anything. You know, it's all on him. You just roll as he commands, and he'll take care of you. The second passage is in the 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is regarding the prophet Elijah. He was taken care of by animals. In verse 6, it says, of chapter 17 of 1 Kings, it says, "The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook." So just imagine a guy, you know, hanging out in the wilderness somewhere, and birds are flying by with meat that they grab somewhere and they dropping it. He can do anything. We have to believe in him. And that's why these instances are in the Bible, to show us God is capable of doing anything. So if you're in any condition or situation where you're thinking, "Oh, nothing's going to come out of this," God can do anything. He can send a bird to drop something for you. In this case, a raven. He said he brought him bread and meat. The raven was bringing him bread and meat. Okay, so he had both. He didn't just have one kind of food. He had both. And then he was drinking from the brook. But then it goes on to say, "But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land." And so it continues on in verse 8. "Then the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you.'" Now, I want to just talk about this right quick, because God wanted to show Elijah that, look, my provision is not coming from these birds. It's coming from me. That's why he let the stuff, the brook dry up and the birds stop sending him food. Because he didn't want him to rely on, okay, I'm already going to be provided by these birds and this brook. You know, God wants to show us that he's the one providing. So he will change up the source of provision sometimes so that we don't get caught up on a particular a source. So he wants us to know, look, I'm the one in charge of providing for you. I'm giving you this, not the birds, not this brook. You know, don't get caught up on that. So here he is directed to go to a village called Zarephath, and the woman is supposed to provide food for him. So as he's arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" As she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." Verse 12, it says, "But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house, and I have only a handful of flour left in this jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will also always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." So this is just a famine period. And this is why this is happening to everybody. But even in this instance, God is providing. So I don't care where you're at. "Oh, it's a famine over here. You're not going to survive. It's over with." No, God will provide. He'll make a way. Verse 15, it says, "So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah." So just like God said, and thank God this woman was faithful to give to Elijah, because she could have been stingy and said, "I don't believe you. I don't believe God. I'm not making this meal for you. I'm gonna keep this for my son, and I'm gonna just die after this." No, but she trusted God, and God provided for her for many days, and as it continues on, and so she didn't die of hunger or anything like that. And we have to also be in that mindset that just because it looks messed up, doesn't mean that is over with. If you believe that God is your supplier and your provider, he will take care of you. Don't get in that mindset that, "Oh my God, it's all over with for me." No, God knows your need. He'll take care of you. So I want to just, you know, reiterate a few things that I mentioned last time, because I said that if you're putting up with abuse on your job, be it be racism or slavery, it's what I call it, when you are being overworked and underpaid and you barely have enough time to even do anything when you get home. That's a form of slavery, even though it seems like it's not. If this is what you're subjecting yourself to, maybe it's because you don't trust God to provide and you think that this employer, you got to put up with this. You know, another side of that is low self-esteem, when you feel like, "I'm not worthy of a better job." And that's something God has to work out in your life. That was my issue with some of the jobs I was taking on as a self-employed entrepreneur. So I had to realize that and change, you know, who I was working with and stuff like that. But I mentioned that to say that many of us, you know, take on this, and we need to. What I'm not saying is that we, okay, now that you realize you're in slavery, just to quit your job and immediately try to start a business and all this kind of stuff. What I'm saying is to be led by the Spirit in this whole thing. If you are, you feel you're called to ministry, don't just immediately just quit your job and jump into ministry and say, "Well, God's going to take care of me." No, be led by the Spirit in that as well, because God may have you to do some things on your job or start a business or whatever, but let be led, and don't just immediately just jump and do something. Be led by the Spirit in that. So I just want to clarify some things from my last talk, just not to just jump and do some stuff. Be led by the Spirit in that. That means, you know, if you need to fast, you need to pray, ask God until you get an answer you feel comfortable with, or that you feel you're confident the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And then you follow what he's asking you to do, or commanding you to do, rather. I want to emphasize that it can be hard for us as Black people in this country, those who are classified as Black in this country, because of racism primarily. And so we need to trust God even more. These systems are not designed to really support us at all or to give us the bare minimum. As you know, this ministry believes that the black man, the so-called black man, is the Hebrew, the lost tribes of Israel. And so we need to get back to trusting God and allowing him to provide for us. Because what happens when they stop hiring black people? You're doing your best on the job. It doesn't matter. They decide to lay off all the black people. They can do that, and they can get away with it because of the country that we live in. What happens when that, you know, what happens when government assistance is cut off? You don't have a food card anymore. You don't have food stamps. You don't get a government check or something that takes care of part of your rent. Currently, right now, in 2018, the President Trump is trying to cut off some of these benefits for people in need. Now, who do you think is going to be affected the most by that? So black people, Israelites, need to get back to God. And I've been saying this for a while now. We need to get back to God. We need to get into the kingdom of God. Because God is our provider. He wants to take care of us. We cannot rely on the government. And too many of us rely on the government. Specifically black women, they look to the government as their support. And what happens when all that's cut off? So it's important that we start to focus on the kingdom of God, get born again, filled with the Spirit, and follow God and allow him to take care of us. Because without him, we're going to be doing things we may not want to do or under heavy burdens that are not designed for us to be under and taxing ourselves. And I would encourage anybody to ask themselves this question. What's more important to you, your spiritual condition or your physical condition? Let me say it that way. Your spiritual condition or your physical condition? Because some people say, I ain't going to be out on the street. I'm not going to be doing this. But you're subjecting your soul to a environment that's destructive to your soul. When you go into a job where you're being belittled, mistreated, when you're being overworked, it's taxing your body. Like I mentioned last time, the hustler, where he's got four or five jobs, destroying his body. His relationships with his children are not close because he's always working. What's more important, to be with your family and have a little money, or to be absent from your family most of the time and have a lot of money because daddy's working? You know, I would say that God is more concerned with your relationship with your children than you having a bunch of money to take care of them, because that's so they can have nice clothes and wear Jordans and be nice dressed and all that kind of stuff. But if dad ain't there, you see, if mom ain't there because she's working three and four jobs and you got to put your baby in some kind of daycare where, you know, you most of the time you're not even with them because you're working so hard just to take care of them, just so you can have a home and some clothes and food, but you're barely having a life. And so I'm trying to show people that a lot of what we're under is slavery. And this God wants better for us. And if we connect with him and believe that he's our provider, we may have less, but we still got family. Our soul is intact. We're not being beat down and mistreated by the systems and all this kind of stuff because we're together. He's providing, and we're free to do the will of God and to grow in God. So I would encourage people to ask themselves that question. You know, is the spiritual condition more important than the physical condition? And your spiritual should be more important. God is saving souls. He's not saving your lifestyle. He's not saving that. He's about the inner man or the inner woman, saving that, fixing that up to be saved. Jesus came back to save souls. That's one of the problems with the Pharisees. They was upset because they wanted their physical conditions to be changed. They wanted to be leading the world. They wanted to destroy Rome and run the world. God was like, no, I come back to save your soul. I'm not freeing you from Rome. Okay? Now, eventually, you know, righteousness is going to prevail and win, but God is more concerned with your inner man than your outer man. But like he says, he's going to take care of us. So he's not going to neglect your physical needs, your need for shelter, and all the other needs that you have as a human being. He's not going to neglect that, but he wants to work with the inner man first. And that's what's most important, to get the sin out and the pride and everything else and transform you into the image of Christ. That's what's most important to you. most important to him, rather, and it should be important to you as well. So if you're on a job that makes that difficult, that destroys your inner soul, that causes you to be something else that you're not, then you need to let go of that job and say, God, show me where I can work and you provide for me and supply my needs, where I don't have to be subjected to things that are hindering my soul from growing. Because a lot of these companies, they're wicked and they're perverting your soul. Every time you go there, every time you subject yourself to that treatment, it's perverting your soul. God don't want that for you. So I would encourage you guys to think on that and be led by the Spirit in that situation. Finally, I just want to just get you ready for trusting God. If this is the first kind of talk you've heard about trusting God for supplying all your needs, there's a few things you got to begin to do before you just step out in faith and begin to believe God. The number one is you need to become a minimalist. Now, you can look the word up and find out what that means. But basically, it means to let go of a lot of the things in life that you don't need. Lighten your lifestyle as far as all the stuff you have. For me, God, he turned me into that. And this is just the term you can call it. But I would say any mature saint is a minimalist because they letting go of the world piece by piece. For me, God had me move by myself 3 or 4 times. And every time I moved, I've realized I had so many boxes of stuff that I never really used that I'm like, I don't even use this stuff on a daily basis. I don't even work with this stuff. Why do I haul this stuff around? And you'll see in your house, you got stuff, loads and loads of clothes you never wear. You got tools you don't use. You got stuff that is just not in use. People are so bad that we have extra storage units. We have homes, and then you got an extra storage unit full of stuff. And it's like, are you using this stuff? And so what I would do is every time I moved, I would take an inventory of what I had, and if I didn't use it, it would go to the Salvation Army. It would go to some organization that could redistribute it to other people that may need it. And I would lighten my load. I would get rid of furniture I wasn't using. I would get rid of tools I wasn't using. And I will lighten my load. And over time, you'll find that you don't need as much clothes as you have. You don't need as much shoes. You don't need all this stuff. And you lighten your load and your home becomes minimal. You only have the things that you need, you know, and it breaks you away from materialism to where you're always buying stuff just because it's a commercial out and you need to have the new thing and all that kind of stuff. God was tearing me away from that. And so that's where you have to begin, where you begin to lighten your home and what's there. We need to understand that this is not our home. This earth, this current system of things, this kingdom, Satan's kingdom, this is not our home, okay? And especially for Black people or Hebrew Israelites, this is not your land. So we got to disconnect from this place and just start focusing on the kingdom of God and not be entangled in property and what I'm buying and what I'm setting up in America and what I'm building. We got to disconnect from a lot of that because God is not, he's not about all of that. He's about your inner soul being transformed. I'm not saying you can't have that stuff. That's useful. But I'm just saying that our focus should be on spiritual things in the kingdom of God rather than physical things and being caught up in ownership of different things in this world and things like that. We have to just come to a place where we understand that this is a temporal setup. It's going to go away. And what we've done in this world, in this time frame that we have, that's what's going to last. And if we focused on the kingdom and made the kingdom important to us, that's what's going to last and we'll be in the kingdom. If we made material things more important and trying to build wealth and all this kind of stuff, we may end up not in the kingdom and losing our soul because we focus on the things of the world that's passing away rather than the things that are eternal. So I just want to encourage you with that. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, because it gives us an understanding of who we are and what we're supposed to be doing with this life. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated, as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. A lot of us are in prison. A lot of black folks are in prison. A lot of Hebrews are in prison, and they've been born again in prison, and they're saints in prison. We need to be visiting them, if at all possible. And he says, remember those who are being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. We should be sympathetic to one another, whether they, you know, black or white, Gentile or Hebrew, they're in the faith. We should have some sympathy for them. And if they're in prison because of their faith, we should be visiting them. Number four, it says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we talked about last time about being thankful for what we have, being satisfied, being content. We have to remain that way. And that means we got to disconnect from the world and the material things. And commercials is always showing us something new that we need to have, but we don't need to have that. It's something that they make us want to have stuff. Don't fall into that trap. Disconnect from commercials and material and the latest this and the latest that. We don't need to have those things. So he goes on to say in verse 6, we can say with confidence, Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Verse 7, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that have come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. So let's follow the Lord. Let's, you know, join in his sufferings, as other scriptures say, and including this one, because that's what's going to happen if you follow a guy. And we'll have talks about persecution being a part of being a citizen of the kingdom. But God got us our back. We're going to stay together. We're going to love one another. And as you've seen, you know, the believers took care of one another. If you read the book of Acts, the believers took care of one another. And it's going to be that way because, you know, they're not going to hire us. They're not going to. And this is going for not just Hebrews or black people. If you're a saint, it's going to get to a place where the world is not going to love you. And if they know who you are, it's over with for you. No work for you. We're not supporting you. We're not doing nothing. So it's going to be just saints taking care of saints. And we got to believe that God's going to provide in that environment. And so you got to be a person that's connected to God, saying God's going to got my needs. Because if you believe that God's going to take care of you, and I believe God's going to take care of me, we can all be taken care of together and not be stingy and not wanting to give to one another because we feel like the little we have, there's nothing else coming from that. No, God is going to be our provider and take care of us. And this is just what's going to happen. We need to keep our minds in the right direction. But I just mentioned all that to say that be led by the Spirit in your transition into allowing God to be your provider. Like I said, a lot of people, they have a mindset about I have to take care of myself, and that's not what God wants. And if you stay in that mindset, you're going to end up doing things you don't want to do or focus on money too much to where you just lose the kingdom. And so God is your provider. Keep that in mind. Continue to meditate on these scriptures. Look at what he did for Elijah. Look at what he did for Israel in the wilderness. Look at what Jesus did for those who listened to his preaching. He sat them down and he fed them. God will take care of you if you follow him. So he knows your needs. He's a father. He loves you and he's going to take care of you. You just need to have faith and believe that he will. So that's all I'm saying in this talk. I'm just being encouraged. God got your back and he's going to take care of you. Till next time, walk in the Spirit and just obey the Lord and follow him as he leads you.
Thank you.